Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms, through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community. And welcome to Nature Mystic with Sleeta Fox, a podcast where we enjoy encore presentations of topics covered by Circle Sanctuary Senior Minister Sleeta Fox from her previous podcasts, Circle Craft Studies, Nature Folk, and others. In tonight's encore from April of 2013, Sleeta was joined by Roberta Stewart and others who shared firsthand accounts of the decade-long successful quest for pagan civil rights, which resulted in the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs adding the pentacle to the list of emblems of belief that can be provided on memorial markers for deceased veterans.
Welcome to Circle Craft Study with Sleeta Fox. This is Sleeta Fox, and tonight we have a special program, Stories of the Veteran Pentacle Quest and its Success. Today is the sixth anniversary of the victory of a 10-year-long quest to have the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs add the pentacle, an emblem of belief not only for Wiccans, but for many pagans, to the VA's list of emblems of belief that can be included on veteran memorial markers that it issues to honor deceased veterans. We're going to have several people joining us tonight who are all part of this quest. I want to begin by thanking everyone who was part of the quest, sending support, signing petitions, interfacing with government locally, statewide, federally, posting comments to media reports, networking, getting the word out, attending rallies, organizing events in support of the Veterans Pentacle Quest. While what eventually led the VA to finally authorize the pentacle for use on the grave markers it issued was the successful settlement of the Circle Sanctuary versus Nicholson, he was the head of the VA at the time, federal lawsuit filed in two courts, but it was the court in federal court in Wisconsin. While that finally got the job done, many people were involved in this quest, and this quest is an example of how pagans of many paths can work with people, individuals, organizations, and other groupings of different beliefs, of different places, from across the political spectrum, to uphold liberty and justice for all. So tonight we're going to take a journey, and some of those who were part of this journey and continue to be part of the larger quest for equal rights for pagans will be on the show tonight. I also want to give special thanks to the organization that presented legal representation and other support for Circle Sanctuary, Americans United for Separation of Church and State. In fact, I called them today to thank them again for all of their help. So let's take a few moments And we call into our special anniversary evening the spirit of liberty, the spirit of justice. Lady Liberty, Lady Justice, we honor you, we call to you. Be with us now. Be with us in this program. And be with us always, guarding our freedoms, supporting justice. May we have liberty, justice, and equality for all. So mote it be. The Veteran Pinnacle Quest began in 1997. A number of pagans, including some of us at Circle Sanctuary, were part of conversations to get the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs to expand its list of religious emblems and other symbols that could be put on these memorial markers, headstones, plaques, and other gravestones that honor veterans of the U.S. military service after they've died. We were in touch with a number of people who were wanting to see this happen, and as we began the quest, we were very supportive of people going forward and making this happen. The Military Pagan Network was the first to contact the VA, and they found out that all was needed was a formal request from an ordained religious leader detailing information about the emblem as well as an actual graphic representation. And on August 27th of 1997, Pete Pathfinder Davis of the Aquarian Tabernacle Church applied for the Pinnacle to get to the list. And over the course of several years, there were some follow-up messages from ATC to the VA, but it was pretty much ignored. The next to apply for the Pinnacle to be to the list were people from the ISIS Invicta military mission. And that was September 1998. There was some additional follow-up, but still no symbol got added to the list. The VA adopted some new procedures, and some additional pagan groups applied under the new procedures. Still no Pinnacle added to the list. The Nomadic Chantry of the Grammary in 2003, Rosemary Koyman, a high priestess of that group, which is based in Maryland, applied for the VA. Her husband, Abe, had died on December 19th of 2002 and was interred in Arlington National Cemetery in May of 2003. She wanted to have the Pinnacle on his marker. He was a decorated World War II veteran. So the need to have this symbol added to the list was continuing to grow, but the VA was not deciding upon it, was ignoring these requests. And the Pinnacle request from all these groups was kept pending. Symbol requests from other groups, however, were being added to the VA's list. And in 2004, there were a number of symbols that got added. In fact, the VA even expedited the approval of the Sikh emblem so that it could be added to the headstone of an Army sergeant killed in combat and buried in Arlington National Cemetery. That happened in just a matter of weeks. Additional pagan groups applied, and in 2005, Circle Sanctuary decided we would go from a supporting role to actually applying ourselves. Increasing numbers of people connected with us directly were serving in the U.S. military, going to Iraq and Afghanistan, in harm's way, and veterans who'd been connected with us for many years were getting up in years, and it was just a matter of time where we would have a direct need ourselves. So we applied on April 8th of 2005. We were the last of the Wiccan groups to apply under the regs that were in effect at that time. The regs got changed later that year, and we applied again under the new regs because one of our veterans had died in November, Jerome Birnbaum, and his widow decided that she did want the symbol on his marker. And so under the new regs, where you actually had to have a deceased veteran and the next of kin wanting that symbol, came to be, so we applied under the new regs. Still, the VA was not adding the pinnacle to the list. In the larger circle of pagan community we provided support services to were people in Nevada. Roberta Stewart, in particular, her husband had been killed in action in September of 2005, the first Wiccan soldier to be killed in action in the War on Terror, also known as Operation Enduring Freedom. He died along with four other U.S. soldiers when enemy fire shot down their Chinook helicopter while they were providing support to American troops on the ground. It was September 25th, 2005. And when Roberta got to a place in her grieving process where she was ready to order a memorial plaque for her husband, she discovered that that wasn't an option to order a plaque and have the pinnacle on it because the VA still had not added the pinnacle to the list. Roberta was willing to be a public face of the need to have the pinnacle added to the list of emblems of belief. And in her grief, she was willing to take her story forward. And we have Roberta with us tonight, and I welcome her onto the show so that she can share some of her memories and experiences of the quest. And hopefully our technical work will unfold, and Roberta will join us shortly.
Can you hear me?
Hi, Roberta.
Hi, Selena. Thank you for inviting me to the show. It's an honor to be celebrating the 6th anniversary of the Pinnacle Quest.
Can you believe it's been 6 years since we were at the National Press Club with attorneys from Americans United announcing the victory?
No, I can't. It's like, seems like yesterday still to me that this happened, even though, you know, it's been so long. Those memories are, you know, embedded in my memory for a lifetime of fighting and winning. And as you told the entire story, you know, I came in after Patrick was killed to put a face onto what was happening. I was totally in shock, of course. Being a paralegal, to not have him honored was, you know, very upsetting. And I just am, first of all, thank the God and Goddess that they connected us. And then as I took a step forward and, you know, we worked together to get all of Nevada behind me, all of the governors and the legislation, in which we had full support of Democrat and Republican in the bill that they were going to submit to legislation. And I just, you know, I want to thank again, just like you, everybody that supported me through the entire thing and all the support, love, and the pagans that helped, wrote letters, you know, did everything, prayed for me. I also want to thank them for all the healing and that's been sent my way. I have been ill. But, no, I can't believe it's been 6 years. And, you know, I really thought we would be still fighting it, to tell you the truth. So I was just blessed to have you and all the others who had worked so long on it for me to be able to jump in and push them a little bit with Pat's death and that they were discriminating a soldier, which, you know, seemed to work good since we won. But, no, it's a... I'm still writing memoirs. Some, you know, I hope to have a book of the story out. I tell the story to everybody that I meet. I still work with, you know, the veterans, but, you know, what we did was historical, and I'm just honored to be a part of it, to have worked with all the people that were involved with it and have this experience in this lifetime. And as I'm watching the thing here, I'm seeing Patrick's headstone being shown, and it just brings tears to my eyes to know Rosemary never got the satisfaction of seeing that on her husband's gravestone in Arlington. And for some reason, you know, she died recently before I stepped in. I'd always told her there would be one there someday, and there is.
Yeah, and I think back in February of 2006, when you decided that it was time to expand your work beyond the Northern Nevada Veterans Memorial Cemetery in Fernley, and in those first few weeks, as we were talking about this, we're thankful that Jerome Birnbaum's widow, Karen D. Polito, who is joining us tonight, I've just found out, had already made it possible for Circle Sanctuary to apply under the newest rules, and there really wasn't a thing the VA could do now because we had followed all the proper procedures, and Karen and I worked together to submit the correct paperwork for her husband, and we had already had that at the VA's office when you discovered that they weren't going to let you get your marker with the pinnacle on it. And then you began a journey talking with your Nevada U.S. Senator, Senator Reed, and you also worked with your congressman from your area, Representative Jim Gibbons. So this was not only working with both representations, the two parts of Congress from your area, but people from both political parties, Democrat and Republican. So as you think back in those early days, as we were trying to get this done within a few weeks, what comes to mind?
What came to mind was shock, because I really did have the support of my congressman. I had met with my congressman. I had been, you know, in touch with Senator Reed, and it was an experience, but they backed me. They did not want a Nevada soldier. They were appalled. They actually did not even know that this was a problem between the VA. So that shocked me a little. And then they were just both sides working with me to make it right because they knew it was wrong. And they did everything in their power up until the point of when Kenny Gwynn, the current governor of Nevada at the time of the quest, gifted me the first plaque to be placed in the Veterans Cemetery, challenging the VA with the Attorney General, saying that they had every right to do that and honor his soldier as he was retiring. That was a wonderful day. went up, it was installed on Patrick and I's anniversary, and I'll just never forget the feeling that I had the entire state behind me. But even that was not enough to do what we needed to do.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty creative on his part, and he did work with the Nevada Attorney General to come up with the legal mechanism to make it possible to issue for the Nevada state government to issue a plaque for the Wall of Heroes with the pinnacle on it, which had been something you had wanted the VA plaque to be there. However, once you got that plaque, that did not stop your participation in the quest, for we knew that we needed to have it federally recognized.
Yeah, that was a tough actually, it wasn't really that tough of a decision. I knew it was a gift, and I could not live with the fact that Patrick's brothers and sisters of pagan faith fighting in the war that will be denied, because that state might not have a governor that's going to gift them what they need. And so I took the power that to be, you know, the plaque, as you know, was a huge celebration. People came over from all over, and it was just awesome to celebrate and see a pinnacle in a VA cemetery for the first time ever. For me, I cried, and cried for all the other widows who never got to see that, who have lost their soldiers and never saw that, you know, throughout all these years. You never got to see that on your husband's grave, and that broke my heart. The point that I had to continue to stand and work with you, appreciate the gift, but the VA still owed me a headstone.
They certainly did, and I think
so,
what we'll do, because we're, you know, kind of looking at the overall quest, which was nearly a decade long, and things really intensified in 2005. 2006, leading to the victory at last on April 23rd of 2007. And I'd like to also bring into the conversation Karen DiPolito.
Hello? Hello?
Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Hi, Roberta. Hi, Selena.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you, Karen?
How's it going?
All is well.
I'm good, thanks.
Good.
Well, I know that the decision to have a pinnacle on Jerome's grave, you took some time to reflect on it, and we both knew that that was likely to be blazing a new trail for the VA, because they had just changed the rules, and you were the first to request the pinnacle under the new rules.
Yeah, that's right. My husband, Jerome Birnbaum, was a Korean War veteran. He passed away in November of 2005. And you, Selena, you were one of the first people that that I contacted about this, because I know we went back a few years.
Yeah.
And so I emailed you, letting you know, and a couple of days later, I got a call from you, and we talked a little, and then you said, oh, by the way, wasn't Jerome a veteran? And I said, yeah, he fought in Korea. And you said, well, it so happens that I'm getting involved in this pentacle action to get the VA to include the pentacle, et cetera, et cetera. And you mentioned that under these new regulations, you now needed an actual dead veteran to apply for, and I happened to have one available. So we got to work on that. I should say you got to work on it. You know, all I did in the beginning was fill out some papers and fax them over to you, and you did the rest.
Well, and I know at that point, and when you've lost a loved one, you know, most people want to have some quiet time and some private time. And I want to thank you for being willing to consider the possibility of honoring your husband in that way, and I'm glad that you did. And I also know that for a while we wanted you to have the space that you needed for this life change and to be more quiet with that. And
yeah.
Then when Roberta joined us, she was in a place, even though she too had lost her husband in 2005. My understanding, Roberta, you were not only sad, but you were mad at the fact that you couldn't honor your husband and were willing to make that real visible.
Yes, I was actually absolutely furious, and it hasn't been the first time I've sued the government either. So, yes, for me it was like I was angry and this was never going to happen again, and I wish I could say it's never going to happen again to any face, but I'm not familiar with the rules now on the VA. But it was infuriating, and I just, you know, I did a lot of meditating, and in that time, like I said, the widows who had to bury their soldier without that, wanting that spiritual bond with them as I want with Patrick, and it pissed me off, and when I get pissed off, I usually do something. It's always seems to the goddess always brings me to something that needs help, and basically it still is continuing to bring me veterans in need to help the best that I can. But yeah, I was pissed and I was ready to go forward. I had shut my, I think it's partially why I'm ill, to tell you the truth, but I shoved my fear down and I acted with anger. And again, you did most of the work. I learned so much from you. You know, learning how to calm me down, not to get angry. And it was a crazy, wild ride that I'm glad that we don't any longer have to do it. And I hope and pray that if and when another face goes, that the Veterans Affairs does the right thing and honors the soldier. But anger was my motivation. I can say yes. It was not part of the First Amendment. I love my country, and I was appalled and disgusted.
And well, Operation Enduring Freedom, your husband re-enlisted in the military within weeks of 9/11 and then did the final sacrifice, in the ultimate sacrifice, in September of 2005, And so both your husbands died in 2005, and by this time the VA had been sitting on the Pinnacle requests from various groups, including our own, for years. Well, in 2006, after we had applied for the Pinnacle to be added to the list, Karen and I for Jerome, and then Roberta had her request added to the Circle Sanctuary application, and we also had support letters from Sacred Well Congregation and Covenant of the Goddess. So in addition to our organization, we also had the support of two other national and global organizations. And March came, and we still weren't getting the VA to add the symbol to the list. So now there are multiple families needing this done. I went to Washington, met with the Undersecretary for Veterans Affairs, the head of the National Cemetery Administration, in his office at the VA headquarters across from the White House, managed to get in, had a meeting with him, and brought forth not only Karen and Roberta's request, but there was another request from a family at Circle Sanctuary, and somebody who had actually served in military intelligence brought forth his request, as well as some of the other requests that I was aware of, including Rosemary and Abe Coyman. The VA still didn't add the symbol to the list, and that summer there was a pagan religious rights rally in Washington, D.C., in a park between the VA and the White House, and I would like to invite into the conversation Patrick McCollum and Jerry Hildebrand, who are at that rally. I think they are with us soon.
Jerry's here. Hi, Jerry's here. Can you hear me?
Yeah. So what do you remember about our rally in front of the White House, between the VA and the White House, in our quest to get justice done?
Wow. What I remember, this is Jerry, I remember, like, so much energy. I just remember, oh, wow. I just remember, like, really feeling like we were all there, in not just, like, those of us who were physically there, but we were carrying the legacy of what, not necessarily what was due to us, but what we were a stand for as Americans for having for our own community. And I remember, like, Roberta and Patrick and myself and Phyllis Carra and yourself and Amani White and drumming and speaking. And I believe one of the political car brigades drove by, and we were all like, there they go. But there was just a day of unity. It was a day of really, for the first time, for me personally, feeling like there was a real difference we could make in shifting a cultural conversation about who we were as a faith community. And no doubt about it, we were going to do it, get out of our way, come hell or high water.
Well, and I also want to thank you, Jerry, for being the person connected with Lady Liberty League and Circle Sanctuary as part of your Circle Sanctuary ministry work and your work with LLL. You're the one that gave graphic form to the symbol that the VA eventually did add to their list. And I know you've had artwork appear over the years as a graphic artist in many different places, but I definitely think this has probably gone around the world more than any other art you've done.
Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting is it's not like I haven't drawn a pentacle, you know, like a lot, right? It's a basic symbol. It has a basic form. It has certain degree. It has certain ways it needs to be drawn. But it was probably the time in my career when I knew whatever I put pen to paper, or shall we say mouse to computer, that I knew it was about to alter. It was going to alter something on this planet. And the morning, so you actually called me like at something like, I don't know, 3 or 4 in the morning and asked me if the files were ready. And I said, yes, they were. And you said, go to your computer and answer the email I sent you. And there were this series of email addresses there I was supposed to send this file to in a variety of formats and then delete everything. And I did that just like, you know, my Navy wife training kicked in. It was like, don't question, just do, all of that sort of thing, and I did. And then I went back to bed, and I woke up, I don't know, and I went to my computer at 8 o'clock and saw that symbol sitting with all the other symbols on the government's website, and I sat here and I weeped. I cried. I cried. Like, I had done it.
It was definitely a powerful moment, and that symbol is not only on the federal list, but it is on the bronze plaque that got issued while the feds were still trying to get it together to add our symbol. It's on Sergeant Patrick Stewart's first plaque, which the Nevada government issued for him. And
well,
I have to say,
I mean, it was just such an honor because I love, I mean, getting to know Roberta through this whole thing, supporting you with managing Lady Liberty League through that time period, supporting the community at large. It was such a gift and such a privilege.
Well, Jerry, I wanted to just pop in with Roberta and say that I haven't been in contact, but yes, I appreciate all your help. You were so supportive and kind, and I'm just grateful to have met you and the experiences that we had getting the pinnacle as we all worked together.
You're welcome. You're welcome. It's my gift.
Well, another person who was at that rally and who helped us and was actually at the private meeting that followed the next day at Americans United for Separation of Church and State headquarters, Patrick McCollum. So welcome, Patrick.
Well, welcome all of you. It feels like the old times, huh?
I know,
yes,
doesn't it?
Does.
Hello, Jerry, and hello, Roberta.
Hi,
honey. And,
hi, Patrick.
Yeah. What an experience, an overall experience. I have a couple of comments I'd like to make about just the process that took place, which I think is the kind of thing that doesn't get heard very often, and that is that the level of dedication, the kinds of hours and times that the people who would show up during the different components of this battle over many years, but particularly by the time we reached this meeting in Washington and that sort of thing were beyond anything anyone could believe. I pretty clearly recall Selena, Jerry, myself, Roberta, and numerous other members who were involved in the process, having not slept for days and days on end. I mean, there were moments, I remember one of my most favorite pictures I got, which I still never really put out publicly, was Selena after 2 days of no sleep and continuous interaction with press and veterans people and stuff like that, closing her eyes while she was speaking to us and actually falling asleep while she was sitting there in conversation. And I truly didn't think I had it in me to stay up anymore, and yet we went on for days past that, and then we went to the rally. And when we were actually in Washington, D.C., and there were meetings going on with people over at the Capitol and various things like that, I could really feel a shift in the energy of the people who had come from all over the country to be at that meeting and those of us who were sitting there trying to press this issue forward. There we were sitting in the Capitol of the United States of America on the evening before 4th of July, and it just felt like this had to be the right time to bring our issue forward and for this to get resolved. And so that evening we all sat after we had the rally, a group of us, I know Roberta was there and Jerry and myself and Selena, and I can't remember who else may have been there. So it might have been Phyllis might have been with us too. But we all sat on a bed and watched the fireworks.
Yes,
we did, 4th of July, from my room. And Roberta and I were in a room in the Washington Hilton looking out at the Washington Monument. Yes, we were watching the fireworks.
I remember us sitting there, and there wasn't one of us without tears in our eyes.
Yeah. I remember actually just outright crying that evening.
Yeah.
And there was a real sense that something could happen, and we were right on the very edge of it. And one of the little parts that I got to play in it, which I felt really good about, was I was on the advisory board for Americans United for Separation of Church and State, and had been for about 5 years by that time. And I'd brought this particular issue forward at our annual meetings for 2 years prior to this year when we arrived. And they just kept kind of saying, you know, well, this was a big issue, but, you know, it wasn't an issue that they were necessarily going to get involved in. They would give us advice. They'd talk with us. Lena was having conversations with Barry Lynn and such. But Barry Lynn came that day to speak on our behalf at that park. That was Lafayette Park. Is that correct?
Yeah, one of the parks, yes.
Yeah. And after that, I went and talked to Selena, and I said, you know, if we're going to make this happen, it's got to happen now. Here we are at the Capitol. We're all together at the same place. This is where the veterans people are. This is where everything's happening. We've got to make something happen. Should we go for it? And Selena said, whatever we can do to go for it, we will. So I went and talked to Barry Lynn, and I said, look, Barry, you know, I know tomorrow's 4th of July and such, but we have got to take this issue forward. And he said, well, let me sit on it and give me a call, you know, like later tonight or something like that. And I don't remember what time of night it was because we were all watching fireworks and such, but Barry got back to me and said, this brought tears to my eyes. He said, the staff at Americans United is having a big barbecue and a picnic. It's our only day off, but they've all agreed to come into the office and to work so that we can all meet on 4th of July. And Selena and Roberta and myself, I remember going to the Americans United office, and, you know, it's like half the people showed up to be there just so that they could listen to what it was we needed and decide whether or not they would move forward and invest their money and their time into actually taking this thing forward the rest of the way.
So that was a real crossroads moment. And while Karen and her wish for Jerome was not right out in the forefront, I will say, as part of that trip at the 4th of July time, so there were several days on and around the 4th of July where all of this was transpiring. Part of the work that I did in working with Jerome and Karen was go to the House of the Temple, which is a Masonic place because Jerome was a Mason, and did some work there. And July 4th was when we had the actual pagan religious rites rally. And following the rally, there actually was a barbecue that was over at Barry Lynn's house. And David and Jeanette, who are on this show with us, went with me and Roberta, took us over to his place. And July 5th, the next day, as Patrick said, even though it was a holiday time, Americans United gathered in their offices. So Roberta and I went to Capitol Hill in the morning and on July 5th, and then we met with attorneys and other staff of Americans United. And then after that meeting, Roberta and I ended up getting on the news. And so we had a pretty full day. We met with Senator Harry Reid's aide at Reid's office in the Hart Senate office building. And basically he sent the aide with us. And in the afternoon, Roberta and I went to Undersecretary William Turk's office overlooking the White House in the VA headquarters, and we went to press our case. So this was my second time in that office, and this time there were additional VA people, and Roberta and I were sitting there attempting to get them to do the right thing. So what happened, Roberta?
That was quite a meeting. You know, I was so thankful for Harry Reid to, you know, get the meeting, and, you know, thank God we had an aide with us. But it was quite an experience for me. As you know, I was never a public speaker before the quest began. And it was just, you know, we we were not going to convince him in the meeting. It was obvious from the time we walked in, although we tried, you tried. I just remember the funnest part of it was when I looked at him and said, who would you like your, you know, your legal complaint served upon? And then I just remember us getting into a van and cars, the phones going off, and I don't even know if that was the same day, but, you know, the, like Jerry said, we all, and Patrick, we all, each step of this way for 10 years, everybody that touched this quest put so much time, energy, and love and support into what we wanted. And I think that's what kept me not so tired.
Well,
but it was definitely a tiring trip, and going to Barry's house was, you know, an absolutely wonderful gesture, and them coming in, that was an experience of a lifetime to have, you know, compassionate attorneys to come in, and, you know, especially with Barry Lynn being a Christian, I believe, minister.
Yes, Christian minister as well as an attorney.
Yeah, and at that time we had to choose because, you know, we had ACLU wanted our case, and we also had the Rutherford Institute, which was evangelist Christians that actually wanted to represent us, and that kind of threw us a little loop.
Well, we had lots of people that once this quest became more public, we were getting a lot of offers of help, but it really seemed that AU was the way to go. I had worked with Barry Lynn back in 1985 to help defeat the Helms Amendment, which would have taken away tax-exempt status from Wiccan churches, a piece of federal legislation attached to the Postal Appropriations Bill. But fortunately, that died in committee. That's a whole other show that we'll talk about at some point. But I really think what was crucial about that July 4th journey was that the publicity around this quest intensified. We tried the administrative branch, the executive branch of government again. There was increasing public media. In fact, CNN, just as Roberta and I were supposedly going to the airport, showed up, and so we had the opportunity to get interviewed, and so some more press happened there. And so the story continued, and we tried several more things to try to get the VA to get the emblem added. We worked with additional people up on Capitol Hill. We had additional rallies. In fact, a year and a day from the death of Sergeant Patrick Stewart, we were in Reno at the 9/11 memorial where Roberta's husband's name was inscribed along with a number of other Nevada service people who had been killed in the war on terrorism. And we did what I would say was our last public call to the VA to do the right thing. So we read a letter from AU at there, that place, and a Christian military chaplain, William Crystal, was by Roberta and my side at the various rallies in Nevada, and his support throughout the whole quest. So in addition to pagans of many paths, we had Christian ministers and people from many different belief systems all supporting us. Well, now we're going to go a little faster and talk about the lawsuit. For in 2006, we had tried legislative as well as the executive branch and still weren't getting it resolved. Aquarian Tabernacle Church, represented by American Civil Liberties Union, filed one lawsuit in a specialty court, and then we filed on November 13, 2006, with the help of Americans United, not one but two federal lawsuits in two different federal courts, the U.S. District Court of Western Wisconsin and the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit, which was in Washington, D.C. So a whole process of this legality was underway. And then we moved into April of 2007, and the time came to do our final tweaking on our lawsuit, and it was the final chance for the VA to settle with us, and we added another plaintiff to the Circle Sanctuary versus Nicholson case. And I know Jill Medicine Heart was in the chat room earlier, and I'm wondering if she is called in. Hello? So Jill was added as a plaintiff to our case. Her husband was in a VA hospital having undergone a stroke, and she represented him in our lawsuit. So we now had myself representing Circle Sanctuary, Roberta, part of Circle Sanctuary, there because she wanted the pinnacle for her husband, Karen wanting the pinnacle for her husband, and Jill, although her husband was still alive, was in more of a vegetative state, so she was wanting that for her husband, and we had someone from an organization we networked with, the ISIS and Victim Military Mission, also part of the lawsuit. And on Maundy Thursday of April in 2006, the VA finally decided to settle with us, and part of the terms of that settlement was that the symbol would go on the list on the next business day, which was April 23rd, 2007. And I think we have Tristan that may be joining us as well, who was there at the press conference with Roberta and me and Barry Lynn, Richard Caskey, and some of the other attorneys from Americans United for Separation of Church and State. So do we have Tristan joining us? The joys of technology with us being in many places.
You know, Selena, this is Jerry. It might be interesting to share how far apart all of us really are and were in this game.
Yeah, where are we all from?
Yeah. Well, I'm from Reno, Nevada, so I'll start first.
And I'm from Salem, Massachusetts.
And I'm from San Francisco, California.
And I am from Utah and formerly from Brooklyn, New York.
And I'm from a forest near Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah, you spread far.
And Jill is from Ohio. And David and Jeanette, where are you from? They are from Virginia. And Tristan is from Maryland.
Well, I don't know if I've shared, but something just came up to mind since I was sitting here looking. I'm sure I shared with you, Selena, but I did want to I don't know if we discussed it or shared with other. You are aware that I had a graduate from William & Mary in North Carolina that did the Nicholson Circle Sanctuary, et cetera, and Nicholson case, and put it into case law and filed it into the Library of Congress.
Well, I am thankful that documentation of this is continuing to be done. And I see that time is growing short. So I'm wondering if each of us that's on the air now can just share a few words. So the quest was successfully concluded in terms of getting the symbol on the list on April 23rd, 2007. So how were you once you heard the news?
Me, I was ecstatic. It was my birthday. So my birthday was the 22nd, and Patrick had been tagged in Mustang 22, so it was a very important date for me, and it was the best birthday that I could have had in Washington, D.C., waiting for you guys who all got planes that didn't work on that evening. I was, if you recall, everybody's flights were canceled except for mine, so I was left alone in D.C.
Yeah, there were some airline challenges. And how about you, Karen?
Yeah, I remember hearing about the settlement. It was like a few days before. I think it was the Friday before the papers were actually filed. It would be the following Monday. So I was told to keep quiet about the whole thing until that happened. And
that's
it
right.
Was a,
we had to sit on it for several days until it was announced.
We had to sit on it all weekend. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was quite the whole thing was a learning experience for me, even though I wasn't as openly involved with it as the rest of you. I remember the day when we filed the lawsuit in November, and I saw my name on the front page of the local paper, you know, with AP doing it and all that, and I thought, oh, boy, what's going to happen? And I just went about my business that day, and nobody I saw mentioned it. I went home, and the home was still there. No one had burned the house down. So I thought, yeah, maybe this is a good thing after all. And I know I was a little quiet about it at first, but I'm glad I got involved in it. And it was great once it became public and the whole thing was announced. It was great. I'm glad I chose to be involved in it.
Well, thank you too, Patrick. So you were on the short list of people that found out about this before it became public, and then it became public. So your thoughts?
Well, the same thing with some of the others. You know, we had all those times when we knew things, but we couldn't talk about them. And I was so excited knowing we were moving there. And when the actual news came out, it was incredible. But one of the things that I wanted, well, there's two things I wanted to comment on before I get off. One was just the sheer exhilaration of being, you know, a small group of people supported by a huge community. So, I mean, well, there were a number of us at the end, you know, banging out these different things and not sleeping and such. We had support, and we knew it from everybody all over the country, from different faith groups and such. And I remember sitting on a bed, and we were all watching on the Internet or on the computer what news agencies were picking up the story. And I remember one of us saying, you know, we've just passed 600 news agencies, you know, picked up this story. And I was thinking to myself, here we are, like these little guys, and not that we're little guys and gals, you know, but that we actually did something really big. And the other comment I wanted to make about it, about the whole thing was, to this day, I travel around and am involved in other kinds of issues where people fight for their rights and such and such. And the Pentacle Quest is brought up continuously by many groups other than pagans as kind of a landmark that if you're somebody willing to stand for what you believe in and you're willing to put the effort out, that you can win against huge odds. And we did win against huge odds, you know, ultimately Roberta and Selena and of course, Pete and all the rest of them who filed different things took on the entire government. And in the end, we brought the pressure to make them do the right thing. And we gave hope to so many other people who still struggle, and they still talk about this case.
That's wonderful to hear that they continue to talk about it. I know you do a lot of work, Patrick, when we chat. And, you know, it is brought up, you know, they put the All Faiths Church up in Afghanistan and named it the Sergeant Patrick's All Faiths Church. And so much good has come from this, from a small people that have not been acknowledged. And, yeah, it was freedom that day, almost, you know, an erotic feeling of we're finally free, we're recognized, you can't shove us under the carpet any longer. And it was just an awesome experience and one that I don't have a single regret on doing, or doing it even after I had Patrick's plaque. I knew I had to do it. And I enjoyed meeting every single one of you, Jerry, Patrick, DeHewings, everybody who, you know, gave me places to stay. And, you know, this marks a great day. This is history. And, yeah, we took it, all of us took it and won it, and that's a huge success for everybody involved.
Well, Memorial Day, we were able to dedicate 3 pinnacle markers at Circle Sanctuary's Circle Cemetery in a place called Veterans Ridge. We had Sergeant Patrick Stewart Stone as well as Jerome Birnbaum Stone. And because of terms of the settlement, which allowed those who had been waiting but who had not applied to also get their markers quickly, we also had Douglas Wilkie Stone and Jeff Coslow Stone, although his family chose to have it dedicated later. And so we actually had 4 stones from the VA at that Memorial Day in 2007. And there were 2 stones delivered at Arlington National Cemetery that got dedicated. Abe and Rosemary Kroyman Stone got dedicated in May, and Tristan was there.
Yes,
and,
I was.
And, oh, you're with us. And so what was that like to actually finally, because you were part of Rosemary's group?
I was indeed. I had promised her before she died, of course, that if the stone wasn't there before she went, that I would do whatever I could. And so it was really good to be able to live up to that and work with such a wonderful group of people. And it was such a privilege to be able to call Rosemary's daughter, Kathleen, and tell her that it's over, you have the stone for your mom and dad, that I was verklempt in tears. It was just amazing. And such a privilege to be part of this group of people that changed the whole of the United States. And so dedicating that stone was an extremely moving experience for me, as well as everyone else there. And it was, trying to find words sometimes is a little bit hard to convey how full my heart was during that dedication. And I read a statement from you, Selena, for them at the dedication, and it was well attended by at least 30 or 40 people. And now
yeah.
We have 5 of those stones in Arlington National Cemetery.
Yes, and that was the first stone to be dedicated. And I think it's still the only stone that has Wiccans on both sides of the stone, a couple.
No,
Wiccan couple.
It's only on one side.
Yeah, the pentacle's on one side, but both people, I think the spouse's name is on the other side, right?
Indeed, correct.
Yeah, and the second stone to be dedicated was on July 4th of 2007, Deanna O'Rourke, and that was the first pentacle marker that was an interfaith stone because there was a Christian cross on one side for the military service member, and it's his wife, Deanna O'Rourke, who had the pentacle. So Barry Lynn, head of Americans United Separation Church and State, and myself did an interfaith dedication of that stone on July 4th, and that too was a real powerful moment. And I know that the Ewings were at a number of these Quest events, and I know they're doing engineering and support work here. And I realize we've run over a few moments, and hopefully Pagan Priest Show will forgive us for a few more minutes here. So I'm wondering if you all can come on and tell us your experiences with Quest events before we wrap up the show for this year on this topic. They may be working on the chat room, but I want to give thanks to David and Jeanette for their support at the rallies as well as at the big Pagan Spirit Gathering National Celebration where many of us were at. Karen and Roberta and Jill and myself and the widow of Douglas Wilkie, Sandy, were all at Circle Sanctuary on Memorial Day in 2007 where we had a celebration. And then in June of 2007, we had a national celebration as part of the Pagan Spirit Gathering. Well, to conclude our show, I'd like to honor the work of Dennis Presser. When Roberta and I were at the National Press Club in November of 2006, along with attorneys for Americans United for Separation of Church and State, to announce our double lawsuit in federal courts, so much media attention happened. We both were juggling calls on two cell phones each, and we're attempting to go from one part in Washington, D.C. after the press club to another part. Well, in the midst of all of that, calls came from Wisconsin, and they wanted someone in Wisconsin connected with Circle Sanctuary to go before the media, and who was a veteran who would speak out in support of this. And I want to give thanks to Dennis Presser, who's been an advisor to our center for many years, connected with our church and our nature preserve, a veteran, and served in the Army and the Army National Guard for over 20 years. And he decided to come out as a pagan and to come out in support of the Quest. And as we go into Memorial Day this year, full circle, his request made publicly that day that we filed the lawsuit and had all the publicity around that, to have the pentacle on his VA-issued marker is coming true. He died a few weeks ago, and he is having his cremains. We already have some up in our cemetery honoring him, but we're going to have the rest and some tokens of remembrance put into our cemetery on Memorial Day along with his marker, with the pentacle. So here we are in 2013, and Pentacle Quest veterans are continuing to have their wishes granted now that we finally got the symbol on the list. More than 110 markers have now been issued by the VA. They're in private and public cemeteries across the United States. Circle Sanctuary at this point will have 9 as of Memorial Day in its cemetery, and I really want to thank everyone who supported this quest and thank the Pagan Priest Show who follows us, so stay tuned for letting us go over a little bit. I want to thank all of you who have tuned in now or will be listening later. I want to thank the Ewings for their support. And we are going to transition with a song by Celia called Symbol.
Hey, Selena, this is David and Jeanette here. I think we finally got logged in here.
Oh, okay. I've made spaces for you all to talk. So do you have any words to say before we sign off?
Thumbs up. We're so happy to see that this made it through, and we're happy that we had our little part that we played. You know, it was a team effort. A lot of people had a lot of things that they did over the past 10 years to get to the point where it was on the markers. We're still having some technical issues with the chat, so I'm hoping we're going to have a good transition here to the Pagan Priest Show, which is a pretty good discussion, the panel discussion they're going to have with the River Higginbotham.
Yeah, this is Jeanette here, and I want to remind everybody that on Memorial Day, David and myself, and probably Tristan also, and probably others in the D.C. metro area will be going to Arlington National Cemetery to honor. There are now 8 veterans.
Pentacle markers?
Yeah, eight pagans with pentacle markers buried, or they have their cremains at Arlington, and we will be going there to honor them again this year. We've been doing it for several years in a row since this happened.
This will be our fourth time?
This will be our fourth time. And so stay tuned for the Pagan Priest Show, and tomorrow night on Pagan Warrior Radio, David and myself and our other co-host Pam Kelly will be talking about plant spirit magic.
Tomorrow night.
So are you ready, Dave?
I think we're ready with Symbol.
Thank you all for being part of
the
show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
An American soldier came home today, wrapped up as cargo in an American flag. He asked for one sweet silent symbol on his grave, but the VA gun said, "Sorry, son, request a night." Well, he served as any other with his hands and with his heart. He prayed to Father Sky, he bowed down to Mother Earth. He honored air and water and the fire he danced around, but you didn't honor him before you put him in the ground. It's a symbol, it's a sign, it stands for everything divine. Excuse me, sir, I think you're wrong. I checked him the last time. I read the doctrine, it said, practicing your faith is not a crime. So let this soldier rest, honor his request. You sent that little girl crying home from school. Obey the rules. You took away her pendant, grandmother's gift, but the other kids are free to wear their crucifix. And she knows that if you catch her, that you'll have her expelled. She's frightened every member of the family's gone to hell. The
freedom of faith, freedom of religion, the freedom to stand up and fight for what we believe in, the freedom of speech, freedom of faith, freedom of religion, the freedom to stand up and fight for what we believe in, the freedom of speech, freedom of faith.
Thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.